Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 11th. Double Sticks joining us this morning. Mr. Smithers.
Good morning, Brian.
You're layering.
I'm what?
You got your jacket, you got your vest,
it's a little chilly up on the hill this morning.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, isn't it? A little brisk in the morning.
Yeah, you got a nice fire going at night.
Yeah, it kind of makes it fun, particularly with the sun. Did you see the sunrise this morning?
Gorgeous.
Yeah, those are... All right, enough reminiscing. Or why do they say that this morning? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How did the calendar get its name?
I'm stumped on that one.
Already? From the Latin word for an interest book kept by moneylenders, the calendarium. Interest fell due on the calends, or the first day of each month. Calends itself became caler, the Latin verb to call, because the Romans used to publicly call out the first day of the month.
Great. Now every time I look at a calendar, I'll remember how much money I owe.
Yeah. I do that every day. What's the big deal? You get 29 reliefs. Oh, end of the calendar year is staring you in the chops. How do you know if this was a good year or not?
We always wait until the bed tax returns come in. So we got the first quarter, summer, and surprisingly, it wasn't the best year we've ever had. I mean, not surprisingly. I mean, the fires were just brutal to us. And
so it got incorporated under the heading of Northern California, rather than Chico Paradise or Redding.
People didn't want to run the gauntlet to get here, I think.
So I would be really interested. Did Highway 101 traffic pick up? You know, the number counts. Did that
as
increase?
An alternate route? Yeah,
the avoidance thing.
Yeah, well, Caltrans will tell us, but it'll take a while to get those numbers.
Yeah, was it every 5 years?
Something like that. Yeah.
I think there's got to be a ratio or a correlation between vehicular traffic and as a leading indicator for some of the things you guys track.
You can
the beds or the restaurants.
You can definitely graph it, and there's a correlation.
Yeah.
But don't forget that a lot of people just changed their travel plans and went somewhere else, but besides Northern California.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But that ratio, you know, if you get one tick up or one tick more traffic, just driving into the air, what does that translate to? You know, 1%
right.
more traffic means another 10% visitors, another 200 visitors, you know, whatever that number might be.
Right. Well, and as I said, even though there's indications that the season was what we call soft, it wasn't a disaster by any means. Not like, you know, Chico or something like that.
Well, yeah. No, not only no room in the inn, no inn.
Yeah. Poor people.
Yeah, I ran into wrong term. I had discussion with a couple of folks with the truckers parade at one of the intersections there. They were trying to figure out what was going on, et cetera, et cetera. And they were displaced from Paradise and another one from Chico. They were renting rooms here. But I suppose the Airbnb or the long-term rentals don't register for what you guys look at.
Well, many of them are on the rolls, so we know what business they're doing in terms of the bed tax they collect. And don't forget, in the county unincorporated area, Airbnb handles the collections, so we get real good numbers for those ones.
But doesn't if they stay longer than 30 days?
Yes, 30 days is the limit. After that, there's no bed tax. It's not considered a short term rental.
I would suspect that a lot of the folks who don't have anything over there right now, jobs, houses, et cetera, businesses, they're probably going to be around for a little bit longer than just 30 days.
Well, we got to do what we can to help these folks out.
Yeah. And that's, I suppose, part of the challenge also. You know, when you guys have talked in the past, I know it's the county of Shasta and those folks, Humboldt, Del Norte County, kind of working together. With the magnitude of the impact and the negative share, Northern California is kind of all together in one ball of wax, I think, for probably a large percentage of the country. Is there any thought to try to bring those guys in and do maybe a, I don't know, north of Napa?
You know, it's not just Northern California, it's all of California. Because remember, we had the terrible wildfires in Southern California as well. So,
But we don't get too confused with L.A., do we?
California is the brand that people are coming to see in many respects. So, consequently, the State Tourism Office has put together a fairly aggressive PR campaign and marketing campaign to try and convince the rest of the world that we're open for business.
When does that roll?
It's rolled out now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and there's they do a good job of these kind of things. So they have top level stuff with messaging going out, but then they have programs and pieces that individual destinations can tie into, and some tools we can use to put our stamp on it. That the redwoods are not burnt down, or whatever we want to say.
The redwood doesn't burn. We know that. Unless it's in a house.
Not easily.
So what part of that program are you most jazzed about that you can put some hooks to for our neck of the woods?
It's the PR part of it because, I think that drives a lot of the travel intention, what people read and hear. And it's just a matter of trying to overcome, false information or false impressions.
Go ahead. You can say the phrase. You're not going to go poof and disappear. False news?
False.
Or fake news?
Fake news, no. Well,
it has many applications as a phrase.
I don't think that in this case anyone's intentionally trying to jam us up. It's just that's...
No, but if it's misinformation, it's misinformation, intentional or unintentional.
Sure.
Like, your buddies throughout the country, I would think, would be a good barometer, and perhaps we can tap into what some of their thoughts and comments have been. It's 8:19.
It's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers from the Visitors Bureau. Tony, the other folks that are in your position as an executive director for marketing groups throughout the country, I'm sure you've got some socials as well as some professional contacts. When they were reaching out to you, what was the messaging that they were receiving? Did they think that you were having to deal with the fire directly? Did they think that it was 5 hours away? Did they think it was in the neighborhood? What was their general takeaway from what they were consuming?
Well, there's a variety of responses. Some thought that we were in the thick of it. Most were aware that we are, on the coast here, where we were isolated and somewhat insulated from, but they knew nonetheless that we would be affected by it, just in terms of travel patterns and access and that kind of thing.
I wonder if there was a lesson or parallels you could draw from that for the general consumer who were not nearly as sensitive to the details.
It's a story of all good PR to get out in front of it with the facts and just to be calm and tell people how it is, and then do it again and again and again.
Now that it's not continuing to grow and explode and move and that kind of stuff. So what is the message for this coming spring? We're here.
We were. Our hearts go out to those who were affected. We were not affected. We're open for business. California is still open for business. The wonderful nature that we have is still there. So come and see it.
How is San Francisco handling some of the challenges that they have got? I know that the conventions are off because people are avoiding it because of some of the homeless
sure.
aggressiveness and the filth and all that kind of stuff. Is that because it's such a critical thing for us as a gateway, is that causing an impact as well? Is there a demonstrable on that one, or is that just kind of an intuitive?
Well, yeah, because it would be hard to tease that out from the fire impact for this last season at least. So we have been watching that. You know, we do a number of things down in the city. We're members of the San Francisco Travel, and we advertise in their main visitor center. And we, you know, the certified folder program.
Those ones out on the piers.
And the main one they have at the end of Hyde Street, where the end of Powell Street, where the big visitor center is there. We will be definitely watching that. But you're right that as a gateway, particularly now, you know, international has continued to grow. When we first started talking, we thought we were getting maybe 5 or 6% of our visitors were international. And now it's easily twice that. It's easily 10 to 12% are coming from other places.
Still Germany in the Asian continent?
Germany.
Excluding Canada.
UK is still quite good. Australia, New Zealand is a very good market for us. And yes, Asia is growing. And that's where a lot of the potential is seen.
To the point where the folks either in the retail sectors or in the lodging sectors need to be multilingual? Is it that frequent yet, or do you have some that specialize in certain languages, and that, you know, if you get an inquiry from, let's say, you know, a country that isn't English-speaking predominantly, that you can kind of steer them to those that are more conversant?
Yeah, that hasn't been an issue yet for us. And I think the reason is it sort of self-selects, which is we have two kinds of travel international. We have group and we have FIT, which is foreign independent travel. We've been getting a lot more of the FIT, which selects for affluent, English-speaking, independent folks. So, you know, they can find their way around pretty well.
So even though it may not be their primary language, they're still conversant in English.
Enough to get by.
Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of them have business contacts here and, you know, all of that. That does not mean to say that our hospitality industry should just take it for granted. We need to be sensitive to what these folks like and what makes them comfortable and feel welcome. And so we've done a few groups from China, for instance, and there's, you know, little things like they like to have slippers provided in their hotel room. They like to have congee for breakfast, that kind of stuff. And to the extent that we can do that, then we will be, you know, perceived as more welcoming.
Right. Or you have at least one or two establishments that do that.
Correct.
So you can kind of steer them. When you said business was off a tad, was it price point based? Was the family style or the family priced facilities impacted to the same extent that the higher end ones were?
Because
you could see an argument that one would be and one wouldn't be, or that both would be.
Right. You know, I could get that answer for you.
You don't have that. Just.
No, because, you know, we get TOT numbers, but we can sit down where we can survey the lodging properties and
tease it out a little bit.
Tease it out to the extent that, you know, they're willing to share that.
Yeah, that I think would be really intriguing, because I think some of the folks have an approach similar to what we have got, where, okay, if the crowds aren't there but it's still safe, that's when we want to go.
Exactly.
Okay, now what level do you stay at? Obviously, that's going to be a factor in there as well.
That was an interesting thing. I was just reading the other day about some international, you know, travel hotspots. I hate to use the word, but a lot of the popular travel destinations are ones that have had some sort of problem or national disaster.
Following right after.
People are coming to check it out and help them out.
It's 8:30.
What could we we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers from the Humboldt Visitors and Convention Bureau. Close?
Close enough.
Okay. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Tony, we're hearing about a bunch of things that are going on in the area, investment. Eureka, Humboldt Bay, kind of focused on this one a little bit. Certainly the one that's probably the most out in front is the development at the old truck terminal and the stoplights. Putting that in, not putting that in. When you at the Bureau see, okay, the Kentucky Fried on this property, okay, in and out, Chipotle, investment in infrastructure, all these things, these are signs that somebody's seeing something going on here. How does that ripple into your niche?
Well, with us, there's this one metric which seems to drive development, and that's occupancy. All right? If there is a sustained occupancy that will drive business beyond the cost of financing a property.
So a positive ROI.
Right. Then people are looking for opportunities to do a development. We've had that. It hasn't been spectacular. I mean, our occupancy has really been about 65%, which is grown. That's annually, of course. Now in the summer, we know it's in the 90s. You know, we're often the most full in the state in the summer. And you could say, well, you don't have a lot of rooms. You know, true, there are only, counting Airbnbs, is somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000 rooms in the county. But that's what people are looking at. And especially if it's sustained and if there's a trend line that looks like it's going to keep going, then people are going to be willing to make that investment. And we have opportunity. You know, there's some flags, you know, some brands that are not in our market. That'll be seen as an opportunity because those brands have, you know, a built-in loyal customer following.
Well, and then you've got, I mean, to me, the obvious one is lack of view of the water. Get a couple of those properties in. I would suspect, and let me ask you this, because this is kind of the concern that has been expressed with the In-N-Out Burger and some of that. Will we be cannibalizing? So if there's another hotel, the brand spanking new brand, okay, so, and I really love their polka dot logo also. So there really is no favoritism on this one. Comes to town. Is that where everybody stays and nobody more comes here? Or are there those that will come because of the facility? And it expands, makes the pie bigger.
It does make the pie bigger. This fear has always been around. I remember when the Holiday Inn came into Eureka, there was a lot of concern that it would cannibalize. What it did was it absorbed the growth. And that's what these STRs do, the short-term rentals. They absorb our growth.
So everybody's numbers are in the same ballpark as they've been. They just don't get to grow.
Right, because the inventory is bigger, to, you know, it spreads out further. It still means that the art as a destination, as a tourism, you know, entity, we're growing.
So what would happen if somebody really put in a resort, a full on? I mean, you think of it in other areas. Obviously, we're not going to be running on the beach in skimpy swimsuits, but a resort that would be appropriate for our area.
Sure.
Whatever the footprint is, it becomes a destination.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody win?
Everyone wins because a property like that is its own attraction. It's not necessarily just putting people up who are coming to the Redwoods. There's some of that, but people are coming to that as an experience in and of itself. So I believe that they would have their own, you know, their own slice of business, which they bring along with them.
So that's similar to what, like, Tututin does in Gold Beach. He just puts Gold Beach on the map, so to speak.
Absolutely, yeah.
For the folks that travel in that, at that level.
And, you know, I'm not the economic development expert that you could talk to, but I think there's an issue of critical mass. And that contributes to there being a variety and a selection of choices, which just makes us a more viable destination.
Wouldn't that, I just had a really weird flash. If you know anybody who's got a gazillion dollars, a resort that were a series of Victorians. Okay, indoor plumbing and electrical, so it would be quite, but period pieces.
You know, that's not too far off from what the Blue Ox has been trying to develop, you know, as their Craftsman's Village. So that could be a fun thing to have.
But 10 or 15 or 20 different homes, and that was, you know, within, I still have the current amenities and all that kind of stuff. But the experience, because don't people still ask, where can we go to tour a Victorian?
Yeah, we hear that.
Yeah. It's still an ongoing drumbeat.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, see, I can spend everybody's money in a zillion different ways.
Thank you.
Notice nobody's following behind me. The line is really short.
Hey, Winston, is the phone ringing there?
Yeah. quick. Do you see new construction in the lodging industry, or I guess apartment buildings could be the same thing also these days, that kind of development as indicative, confirmation, if you will, that what has been going on is positive and that there is belief that it's going to continue?
Yes. Of course, you know, being in marketing, we're creatures of faith. But when you see people willing to invest in the community, even though we are so much anxiety over all the problems that we perceive and this and that, and I believe that the fundamentals are solid. This is a great place to be and a great place to visit.
So those developments, the restaurant developments you see, that's a plus.
Yeah, absolutely.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back. Final couple minutes this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, looking ahead, what does 19 look like for you?
19 looks wonderful.
Or for us, I guess.
Looks wonderful. The fires will be out, and we will be still riding high on the year of incredible PR we got from the Redwoods this current year with the Lonely Planet designation.
Did that balance out the fire?
It probably mitigated a lot of the damage that we could have been experiencing.
So how do you leverage that for year two?
We remind the traveling public that we have the tallest trees in the world, a transcendent natural experience that everyone has to come and see.
So you're not going to boil it down to some of these basic as, our trees have leaves. Our trees are vertical. Yeah,
you know,
kind of stuff.
Almost every day something comes across my desk, which is another angle on this story of the Redwoods, or another place, or another person, another voice. It really is our evergreen attraction.
Well, yeah, you think about it. The fire certainly had impact, but so did the bugs. And before the fire, the bugs were taking out a whole bunch of the trees over in the valley and in the Sierras. Yeah, it's sad, it's unfortunate, but it really does seem to be that opportunity for plush and lush.
There you go.
Ooh. Ooh, there's your phrase for the day.
Okay, I'll be the plush, you can be the lush.
Yeah, you know what? I'll sign up for that one today. Oh, my. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
You too.
See everybody tomorrow.